Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we are so glad that you are here with us on Cowboy Church because it's fun here.
Well, it really is. The other day,
Are you sure? Oh yeah, always.
You know, especially when my creativity starts to go. You know, I'm always kind of enjoy the aspect of kind of throwing stuff at you and watching you react. I was just thinking about this. The old question: which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Because the answer is in the Bible. Do you know that?
No. What is it?
It's in Genesis. In Genesis, the Bible says that God created all the animals,
right?
And He gave them the ability
to procreate.
Yeah. So the chicken came first.
Yes, of course. Who even asked that question?
Anymore? I don't know. It's some of the dumb things I think about. So why did the chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side.
It's to prove to the possum it could be done.
Or the armadillo.
Or the armadillo.
I hope they haven't already turned us off on that one. We are so glad that you've joined us for Cowboy Church. Let's see what's in store for today.
I was built back in 65 on the corner of North and Bay, right between the Blackburn School and the Johnson's Field of Hay, and the breeze a tire swing sways in the shadow of my steeple. I am just a small town church with a blacktop parking lot. Cars used to fill these spaces and couldn't find a spot. They'd spend their Sundays in the shadow of my steeple. I saw Mrs. Jones kiss her only boy, straighten the tie of her pride and joy, just before he said his vows with Jenny Lee. June of 83. Never been so full or found so much love till 10 years later when he rolled his truck and they packed the pews to pay respect and say goodbye. I watched his mama cry in the shadow of my steeple. Shines through the stained glass on my lonely balcony. The paint is peeling to the wooden doors on an empty nursery. Less and less the children play in the shadow of my steeple. Thank you. north and bay.
So in the midst of all the heartache, of all the things and all the struggles that we are, God helps us to become stronger. And that's what this country is based on. So world, bring on the rain. Bring on the troubles, because we are in this world. But our God says, I have overcome the world. Another day has almost come and gone. I can't imagine what else could go wrong. Sometimes I'd like to hide away somewhere and lock the door. A single battle lost, but not the war, no. Tomorrow's another day, and I am not afraid. So bring on the rain. It's almost like the hard times circle round. Another drop, and they all start coming down. Yeah, I might feel defeated, and I might hang my head. I might be barely breathing, but I'm not dead, no. Tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway, so bring on. No, I'm not gonna let it get me down. I am not gonna cry. I'm not gonna lose any sleep tonight. 'Cause tomorrow's another day, and I am not afraid. So bring on. And I'm thirsty anyway, so bring on the rain. Bring on the rain. Bring on the rain. Bring on.
I want to visit with you a little while this morning about Easter. I've been on a series of messages on Easter. Every Easter I've been preaching the same message for a while. It's same subject. Well, you know, in advertising, it takes 16 to 18 hits in order to be able to really get the message. You know that? 16 to 18 hits. So for the next 16, 18 years, I'm going to be preaching about this subject. Every Easter. And it has to do with the cross. I'm going to preach about the cross. And the part of the cross that I want you to get is the intersection factor. You know, the cross goes this way and this way, and in the center there's an intersection. That's why they call it a cross. But here's some other reasons why they call it a cross. Before I get started, though, I want to pray and ask the Lord to be a part of our message. I want to do something completely different today. Usually I start out with a scripture so you know where we're talking about. Today I'm going to talk about everything we're going to talk about, and then we're going to close it with the scripture, because I want you, when you leave this sanctuary this morning, I want it to be undiluted scripture that you leave with. I want the scripture to be the prevalent thing.
I don't want you to think, well, he had some good stories. He had some good points. Oh, he's really a cool guy. And I don't mind you thinking that. But that shouldn't be the important thing. Shouldn't be the important thing. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us. Thank you, Lord, so much for Easter. Thank you for dying on a cross for our sins. Thank you that God, in all of his glory, would have an intersection where he meets man headed in the wrong direction. That you can challenge our lives, that you can forgive us, that you can touch our hearts. Lord, we're thankful for that moment in time. God, I pray today that the impact of that would reach every life. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The cross, it's a stake or a post is set upright. The polar cross, it's also an instrument of death. Exposure to death, the word cross means exposure to death. And when you say cross, you realize that there's a factor of that cross that means exposure to death. It also means self-denial. That's what dying is. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. That means the old carnal, sinful nature of ourself needs to die every day. That's a powerful factor to make things work. And by implication, it's the atonement of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you how this works. We're Christians. You're in church today because this is a Christian thing to do. People that celebrate Easter because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. It's important. Now, I'm going to let you in on some information. I've been looking around this week, and I have news for you. It may scare some of you. It may embarrass others of you. But there are people in our United States that think because we believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God and only way to the Father, that we have become sort of a radical knucklehead faction of society. They believe it. Because we take a stand against sin, and we do, we take a stand against sin because sin destroys people. We as a church have failed in letting people know that we have to love the sinner and hate the sin. If we didn't do that, none of us could be Christians. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to portray that we love people. We love people, but I hate all sin. And if you don't hate all sin, then you don't love people. Sin is what destroys people. Well, I hate all sin. I hate lying. I hate stealing. I hate what it does to people. I hate drug abuse. It destroys lives. I hate sin. But it seems like if we have a radical emotional approach to something, we get branded as a Neanderthal. God help us. We're not Neanderthals. We're the most loving, caring people that should ever live on the face of this earth. We need to be a beacon of hope for people who are struggling in sin. But don't come to me and say, God's going to allow me to keep my sin. All I have to do is pray the prayer. No, 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 no. We don't get to keep our sins. You can't have your cake and eat it too. No. Every person that is involved in sin, when they come to the Father, needs to begin to destroy that in their life. And Paul said, it's hard to do. Paul says, I feel like I'm dying every day to get sin out of my life. But that's the hope that Jesus brought when he died on the cross, that we can exorcise sin from our life and begin to live in virtue and begin to live in holiness. That's the hope of the gospel. We as a church, we can't be saying, oh, you're a sinner? We hate sinners. No, 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 no. We love sinners. We have to. Otherwise, we wouldn't love each other. The root is this. You realize the cross has a root word? The root word for the cross is a word that's interpreted to stand. My dad used to say, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Well, that's great words. It's not in the Bible, but it's one of those. It's like godliness or cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in there, but it's still a good thing to do. It means to abide, to appoint, to bring, continue, to covenant, to establish or hold up, to lay or present or set up or to be staunch or to stand by, stand forth, stand still, stand up and be counted for what's right. But here's the issue for the Christians. We need to do it in a godly manner. Too many times we have laid down and let the world, for lack of a better word, that's what the Bible uses it. It's the sinful nature of the world. We've let the world begin to dictate our society and our culture, and they make fun of Christians, so we don't say anything. Maybe we shouldn't say anything. Maybe we should be passive. We shouldn't be passive. We shouldn't. But we should still portray the virtues of Jesus Christ. We should still portray love, but we should never be people who are afraid and do not take a stand against what is sinful. It will destroy your life personally. It will destroy this nation. It will destroy your company. It will destroy everything you're involved in if you allow and promote sin to be a part of that situation. Do not allow it. Do not allow sin. Love people, hate sin. Love people, hate sin. You hear me? In fact, if you don't hate sin, you don't love people. You've got to hate it before you can ever help them. If you want sin to stay in their life, you hate them because that's going to destroy them. Go ahead, jump off the cliff. I just don't want to make you feel bad before you jump. The cross is the intersection. Here it is. It's the intersection of a lot of things. It's between God and man, between the divine and human. It happened at Calvary. It's the Old Testament and New Testament. The dividing line is the cross. You realize nobody in the Old Testament was ever able to go to heaven because they didn't have the ability to be holy. It took Jesus dying on a cross before they were removed from Abraham's bosom or paradise, before they could ever go into the presence of God. They were in a place of waiting until the Son of God died and his blood was shed for their sins. And when it was, the Bible says when he died on a cross, many of the saints of old were seen around Jerusalem. They were looking around because they were on their way from the belly of the earth to the kingdom of heaven. They went around to see how things were going here, and they went on to heaven. And from that moment on, if you die in the faith, you get to be with the Father. It was the intersection between Old Testament and New Testament. It was the intersection between heaven and hell. You know, there's only one thing I don't like about heaven. That's the part between right here and getting there. I don't want to die. I hate dying. Death will never be a friend. You know why it'll never be a friend? Can I tell you why death will never be a friend of a Christian? Is because it was not intended to be a friend. It was intended to be an enemy. It's the only part of eternity without God that the Christian will ever get to experience is this death, and it's a temporary thing. You pass from this life to heaven to be with the Father. And that process right there is what the sinner gets to experience for eternity. If you're afraid of dying, you should be a Christian, because sinners get to experience that moment for eternity. It's hell. And that's not the worst part of hell. That's just part of it. It'll never be a friend. Death will never be a friend. It's too close to what we know as hell. We don't want to go there. But it's all that the saint has to experience of hell. Death. Life and death. How many of you would choose life over death in an instant? You get your choice. You can die or you can live. I'm going to live. I don't want to die. I don't want to be a part of that. The intersection of life and death is still the cross. Intersection of life and death is the difference between submission and rebellion. It's at the moment of the cross you get to choose, do I accept Jesus or do I reject him? It's submitting to what he has planned for your life or rejecting it and living in rebellion against who he is and what he has planned. It's the intersection. It's the moment of time. It's a crossroads of the universe. Did you hear me? The cross is a crossroads of the universe. It's the intersecting point of everything that is important to a Christian. It was the great sacrifice that atoned for all of our sins that allows us the privilege of being able to spend eternity with God. It allows us the privilege of having God living in us and experiencing all the things that go with that. It's a powerful moment. It's a powerful moment. The cross is personal. I like this. I was so privileged. I have a mom and dad that they're great people. They really are. And I think often what a privilege it was for me to be raised in that family. I know it's a privilege that every one of you wish you would have had. You wish you were my brother or sister. I know you do. Every one of you hang around them, they keep talking about dad. I mean, I got the greatest mom and dad. And if pedigrees meant everything, if it's like quarter horses, your mom's a quarter horse, your dad's a quarter horse, you're a quarter horse. That's not how Christianity works. Mom's a Christian, dad's a Christian, you must be a Christian. No, it doesn't matter. You have to choose. You have to make the choice yourself. It has to be a personal encounter with a living God. You can't be a Christian just because you're raised in America and your mom and dad were Christians. Mom and dad went to church every Sunday. They drugged me with them. I must be a Christian. Doesn't work like that. It's personal. You get to be a Christian because of your own personal encounter at the intersection with Jesus Christ. That's what you get to be a Christian over. And it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified and only Jesus Christ that allows you access to the heaven. You have to stake your claim. You have to mark your moment. It's the point in time when you say, I have decided to follow Jesus, and you ask Him to please forgive you. At that moment, stake your claim. Secondly, it's a covenant. God always does covenants. He doesn't do contracts. A covenant is like this. Both parties decide that they're going to make everything they do everything they can do to make it work. A contract, everybody's looking for loopholes. Covenant, you're looking to make it work. And when God covenants with you and God says He will help you make it work, in your weakness, He's made strong and He fills in the gaps and helps you to be the person you always wanted to be. It doesn't happen without God's help. It's a setup for retirement.
Thank you for being with us here on Cowboy Church. We enjoyed having you with us.
We're really glad that we get to spend a little time with you each week. And Truthfully, we're absolutely honored to get the privilege of being a part of Cowboy Church. I hope with all of my heart that the time we spend here with you works into an advantage for your life.
That's right.
I hope it inspires you. I hope it brings a little bit of Jesus into your home. That's my real true goal.
That's right. Peace, comfort, and joy, what Jesus wants to bring into your life so that you can give to other people also. Write to us at the address on the screen. We would love to hear from you. You can email us. There's our email address. And you can even contact us through Facebook. We would love for you to like us and follow us. Also, donations. We are donation-based, and we need donations. We appreciate what has already come through because that's why we're still here in front of you today. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.